Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. Coming up later in today's show, Ali Moreno will be here to reflect on Brazil's impressive 5-0 victory over Bolivia. Frank Leboeuf joins us. Tell us why he thinks Paul Pogba has lost it. We start, though, with international football. And we saw Germany with a 2-1 victory over Ukraine today. Stevie Nicol and Shaka Hislop with us to reflect on this. Stevie, there was a bit of pressure on Jogi Löw going into this tie after that 3-3 draw against Turkey midweek. Was it improvement today?
Well, you'd have to say yes. Obviously, they had been losing late goals to either draw or lose games, and in this game they won. They did have to sweat a little bit at the end, but you'd have to say there was improvement. They controlled this game. Can't quite make my mind up whether they controlled it because they were so good or Ukraine were just a little average. Certainly Ukraine going forward were completely toothless. And it took a stupid challenge from my good old friend centre-back Sula to actually get Ukraine back in the game when Germany at 2-0 were absolutely cruising. So if I'm to sum it up, I'd say yes, an improvement, because they did dominate the game away from home. But again, they were sweating at the end, holding on to a 2-1 lead.
Overall, though, Shaq, a much-needed win for Germany.
Yeah, a much-needed win, and it came at the right time for Germany in that this was a Ukrainian team that decimated by injury and illness. But Shevchenko has certainly turned their fortunes around, and you saw shades of that despite the changes that he was forced into making. Ukraine, I thought, played very good counter-attacking football, though they seemed to worry Germany at times. Well, up until, what was it, the 85th minute or whenever it was that Sula conceded the penalty. Their only real meaningful chances came when the Germans attempted to shoot themselves in the foot by passing the ball out of the back. Other than that, Germany dominated possession. They controlled the game, as you would expect, against a second-string, at best, Ukrainian team. I still have concerns. The goals came from a set-piece with centre-backs linking up and a goalkeeping error. I just feel that though Bouchan was clearly Ukraine's best player on the day, I'm not convinced by Goretzka or Gnabry as the out-and-out centre-forwards for Germany. I'm not sure how they fill that void.
Who stood out for you for the Germans today, Stevie?
I'd probably have to say Toni Kroos, as usual, picking the ball up, keeping it, making some good passes, had a couple of shots, was a little unfortunate. But he stood out. I mean, the rest were okay. I thought the defence is really vulnerable every time. Well, I say every time because it didn't happen that often that Ukraine actually broke. You really thought something was going to happen. I mean, Rudiger, Sula and Ginter, I mean, they really don't have much pace between the three of them. So every time they were actually run at, it was a little bit of panic stations. So, yeah, Toni Kroos was the best player for me for Germany. And if I'm Jogi Löw, I'm a little worried, not only what Shaka was saying about putting the ball in the back of the net, but defending big time.
Well, thank you very much, boys. Let's switch our focus now, shall we, to Spain against Switzerland. Spain with a 1-0 victory. Yathabal's goal in the 14th minute proving to be the difference between the two sides. Frank Leboeuf and Ali Moreno was watching this for us. Frank, our producer sent me a message just before we started saying, don't be too negative. Go on, then.
Good luck.
All right, I'll try. A very good victory from Spain. Do we have to keep on lying to our viewers or what? I was really appalled with the game that I watched. You know, I don't expect too much from Switzerland. It's a small country and they're doing great. You know, they've been traveled to Spain in 2010 for the first game of the World Cup. They've been traveled to France also, and they fight very hard. But let's talk about Spain, what they lost in a couple of years. Okay. I think Alba, Carvajal, Thiago Alcantara, maybe Isco or Vasquez didn't play. I don't know if they're going to play again. But that young generation, didn't ensure anything to Spain. They lost so much. Before, I mean, they had the talent of Barca or Real Madrid. I think today we had Ramos, Ansu Fati and Busquets playing for the two clubs. And that's it. And the model was Barcelona, but Spain's played like Barcelona, trying to keep the possession of the ball, and they've been very successful. But that time passed, and now they have to find another way to play, maybe more vertical. But they have no models anymore, and we see players for Real Sociedad, from other teams, Villarreal, and everything. So let's say that it's a test that they're doing better than before, but it's still a long way to the new success that maybe all the Spanish population is expecting in the Euro or maybe the next World Cup.
That was Frank's positive spin on it. Ali?
Well, for all the possession that Spain had, it wasn't up until Switzerland thought that they were Spain circa 2010 and they want to play out of the back with pressure on top of them, and Jan Sommer makes a bad pass and Granit Xhaka slips, and then on the turn Oyarzabal scores a goal. And it's 1-0. And that was really, when you think about the opportunities in the first half, that was it. There may have been a header by Ferran Torres and not much else. Second half comes around, it was more of the same. A lot of possession, a lot of sort of horizontal movement, side to side, back and forth. But when they try to get vertical, they simply don't quite have the players to find those passes, to find those gaps. So I would have loved for Luis Enrique to actually have on the field at the same time Ansu Fati on one side and Adama Traore on the other side, so that you have indeed two options of guys that are going to get after defenders in 1v1 situations. Instead, Luis Enrique, what he did was took off Ansu Fati and then brought on Adama Traore. That doesn't quite do it for me, because I'm thinking that you need those two options. You need that threat of Ansu Fati, because he's always going to get in behind. He's always going to challenge the defender. And then you have the physical phenomenon that is Adama Traore coming at you. Imagine if you regard Ricardo Rodriguez defensively for Switzerland and the last 30, 40 minutes that Traore was on the field, and he's coming at you every single time. That is going to attract attention. And so what it does is that if indeed you push numbers defensively towards Traore's side, then that leaves Ansu Fati open on the other side. And as the ball gets switched over, that's when mistakes start to happen defensively from Switzerland. And maybe that's when the underneath players, Mikel Merino, Sergio Busquets, Oyarzabal, whoever may be, maybe they find the gaps there to then find the passes forward. But everything became sideways and back, no real threat other than Ansu Fati at one point or Adama Traore at another point in the game. And then it just became a game of possession where Spain were better than Switzerland, marginally better, but they win it, they take the 3 points.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. Just take a look at some of the other results from today. Germany, we mentioned before, of course, that 2-1 victory over Ukraine. Meanwhile, Luxembourg got a 2-0 win over Cyprus. Montenegro beat Azerbaijan 2-0. Faroe Islands and Latvia play that 1-1 draw. And a win for Gibraltar away against Liechtenstein. Meanwhile, tomorrow, so much soccer for you. Right across the day on ESPN+, Ireland taking on Wales. And that's at 9 a.m. Eastern. Then you've got the Dutch away against Bosnia-Herzegovina, Croatia, Sweden, England against Belgium, Norway, Romania. And then on ESPN, France take on Portugal.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Brazil kicked off their quest to qualify for the next World Cup in some style with a 5-0 thrashing of Bolivia. Roberto Firmino getting a couple of goals in this game. Neymar was excellent as well. Ali Moreno with us to reflect on what was the most comfortable of victories that you'll pretty much ever get in CONMEBOL.
Yes, it was. And it was like that even before the game started. Let's not forget, and for people who may not be aware, that Cesar Farias, a former coach of mine with the Venezuelan national team, now as a coach for Bolivia, has made the decision that, you know what, I'm going to leave my best players in La Paz. Because here's the thing. There is nothing for us to gain going into Brazil and trying to get something that we're not going to get anyways. And so, therefore, we're going to focus and concentrate on the match against Argentina in La Paz. And that's what we're going to do throughout the qualification process. We're going to focus on winning at home and taking advantage of what is, for us, a place where people don't want to go and play. And so,
is that the way Bolivia it should be, Ali? Is that
with
right?
An alternate team. Bolivia showed up with an alternate team. And so here's the thing. Bolivia at its very best, okay, is limited. The alternate team of Bolivia, well, that's even more limited. And so Brazil showed up and they did what you would have expected them to do. And that is just knock the ball around. And I mean here, rotation, passing, moving. Neymar, comfortable could be on the ball. Nobody ever getting really close to him. He's just dancing on the ball. He's showing off. He's great. I think his communication and his relationship on the field with Coutinho is very important for Brazil, because when Neymar is not creating, Coutinho is creating. Where Coutinho pushes forward, then Neymar creates off of that. Roberto Firmino comfortably getting a couple of tap-ins. Everything that you would have expected from Brazil, they showed up and did. There was no drama whatsoever. This game was over even before it started. Impressive from Brazil, but what else would you expect against a very, very poor Bolivia team?
And as you say, you can only kind of judge this by the opposition they were playing against, but Coutinho, what a couple of months he's had, really, trying to be shipped out of Barcelona, comes back, starts for them, does well under Koeman, and a great header as well last night.
Yes, and aside from the goal that I think actually gives you a clear picture of what that relationship is with Neymar. Neymar does the individual play down the left-hand side, gets it set up, and Coutinho understands where the space is going to be. The cross comes in, and Coutinho late arriving with a nice header. And you think to yourself, you know what? This is beautiful for Brazil. If they can get more of this, they're far and away the best team in this competition and in this qualification process. But more of this from Brazil gives you a sense of how good they can be. The depth of this team, the talent everywhere, all across every single line, there is something that you can say, you know what? He's a world-class player. That's a world-class player. This guy is really good. That guy's outstanding. Individually, they're very, very good. And as a group, they're simply dominant. And to me, and Neymar in particular, some may not like the way that he plays, but this is the way he enjoys the game. And for years upon years upon years, people have been critical of the showing off and the stepping on the ball and the dancing on the ball and so on and so forth. Well, this is the way that he does it. And if he continues to play the way that he did last night for Brazil against Bolivia, then there's no stopping this team really in CONMEBOL, because Neymar was outstanding individually and Brazil as a whole, simply spectacular.
I thought Lodi was fantastic as well, the Atleti defender. So that leads us then to the question, obviously Brazil very good against the limited Bolivia team, and it's almost inevitable I'll then ask you, well, compared to the giants in Europe, how are Brazil weighing up?
Well, it's a difficult comparison to make based upon what we saw last night. Yeah. But I can tell you, and I can recognize whether it's a limited Bolivia team or not, or whether it's a poor team or not, Brazil were excellent. They were excellent. And individually, they were excellent. Their movement, there was a certain level of sharpness. There was never a doubt in this game because Brazil were so good. Had Brazil taken Bolivia lightly, had Brazil not been focused, had Brazil been poor, had they been sort of doubtful in terms of who they are as a group, then it would have looked more like what Argentina looked against Ecuador. You don't see this from Brazil. Brazil steps in, and you know who the best team is. And right away from the first minute, you know what? Bolivia has no chance. They have no chance. We knew this before the game, but now it's just confirmation. It's only a matter of time, and this game was over 10 minutes in.
Preceding that, we saw Colombia with a 3-0 win. How much of this game did you watch, Ali?
All of it.
Why did you do that to yourself?
All of it. And I'm following, of course, Brazil that started an hour later. And I'm watching that, and I'm thinking, well, it's getting to the point to where perhaps I shift my focus to Brazil-Bolivia because, well, this is difficult to watch. It was difficult to watch in the beginning of the match, Venezuela against Colombia, because of the horrible injury to Santiago Arias. So you never want to see that on the field. And obviously his leg, his ankle broke, and it was awful to see as he lands on his own leg, and his leg gets trapped, and just awful. There's not much I can say. And that sometimes can create sort of a weird atmosphere in a game because everybody's kind of freaked out from what they have just seen. Well, Colombia kept playing. Venezuela never did. And as a full disclaimer for Venezuela, what I would say is this. Individually, Venezuela and Colombia is a much better team. That doesn't mean that you can't compete. That doesn't mean that you can't beat Colombia. But if you're going to be able to compete and beat Colombia in Colombia, even though individually you're not as talented, you have to have a very solid group effort, a team that is organized, a team that works well together, a team that has their lines and is very compact and understands what they have to do and they get around the ball. In order to do that, you have to work together. You have to have had time in order to prepare for this game. Well, national team coach, the new coach, Jose Peseiro, and his staff have only been working with this team for a grand total of 72 hours because of COVID and this and that and traveling into Venezuela and the difficulties that it is because of the conditions right now in the country, 72 hours. Well, in 72 hours, you cannot create teamwork. There's no chance of that happening. So not only are you individually inferior to Colombia, but if you're not fully prepared, then what you get is very simple, 3-0 loss.
And should we talk about Colombia at all, Ali?
Sure, why not? I can talk about Colombia too. But they themselves were very good. And the contrast and the comparison between the two teams is, well, you look at the organization of Colombia. You saw how good they were and what their plan was and how important a guy like Juan Cuadrado is to them. And he works at the sidelines, but he also comes on the inside and works from inside out. The transition through James Rodriguez. And every time that he touches the ball, you know that there's a good pass coming ahead of that. And because you know there's a good pass coming ahead of that, then the movement in front of James Rodriguez with Duván Zapata and Luis Muriel, it's everything that you want in the attacking half for Colombia. And so Duván Zapata, and Muriel, who both have been very successful with Atalanta, that movement, that strength, that dynamic, explosive sort of final third presence that they give Colombia, it's just very difficult to defend against. James Rodriguez, even though he may have had a quiet game, every time that he touched the ball, there was something special about his touches. And he's looking up and he's playing the little clip balls. And then Muriel in that third goal against the center back from Venezuela, it was a mismatch. From the moment he took the ball and started running, I said to myself, well, look away now. Look away. You don't want to see this. You don't want to see that. Yeah, I was right. I didn't want to see it. 3-0, and it was every bit of 3-0.
Ali Moreno, as always, thank you very much. Just a reminder, ESPN FC with you throughout the international break. Be sure to catch us tomorrow for more. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Ali's still with us as Frank is back as well. Frank, I wanted to talk to you about Paul Pogba. I know we've discussed a lot over the last few days, but we haven't really heard your opinion since he came out and said that Real Madrid is still the dream. You had very much different views yesterday. Mark Ogden saying, well, why did you come out and say that? Julian saying, well, you know, he's just saying the truth. I'm just wondering which side of the fence you sit on.
I'm saying that he still belongs to Manchester United, so I think you should have more respect for the club that paying you every month and give you the chance to show your talent. So you shouldn't go publicly, you know, as long as you are under a contract, is my first thought. And after, you know, seeing Paul Pogba playing right now doesn't tell me that he should be or he could be the solution for Real Madrid. Mm. You know, it's always been a problem tactically to put Pogba in any team, you know, where to put him, you know, in which position. And that's going to be the same for Real Madrid. You know, they are a very good team. They work as a block. And I don't see Pogba going into that, you know, without creating any problems. I know Zidane likes him. I know Pogba dreams about going there. But you have to think professionally and see if Pogba can fit into the tactic you want to put and the team you want to align. So it's going to be a problem. And they have to think maybe twice before making that move.
So 2 points here, Ali. First one is a professional coming out and saying it's still a dream to join another club. Is that right?
In a vacuum, I'm okay with it. Here's the problem that Paul Pogba obviously does not understand, and the disconnect. They're coming off getting destroyed and humiliated by Spurs. Okay? The last thing that you are supposed to be talking about regarding Manchester United at this point is, well, I dream to go somewhere else. No, it is the unprofessional behavior, I believe, from Paul Pogba in talking about Real Madrid and his dreams of being a Real Madrid, rather than saying, hey, you know what? We got our issues in Manchester United. I'm part of those issues, but I myself, I'm going to make sure that I'm better and we're going to be better. And then we're going to go back to being the team that we think we should be. That should be the conversation, and that's it. Sometimes these guys go off with national teams, and they think, like, internet doesn't exist, reports do not exist, that you because you're with a national team, you can say whatever you want, whenever you want to, nobody's going to listen to you. The truth of the matter is that if you're Paul Pogba, you cannot be talking about Real Madrid because of what's going on at Manchester United, and because your individual performances with Manchester United haven't been all that great. So when Spurs are running circles around you, even before the red card, and you're just kind of giving it the slow jog around the midfield, and you're not really giving it the work that it is required in order for Manchester United to be competitive, then you come out and say, hey, I dream of going to Real Madrid, then every Manchester United fan is going to be saying, yeah, of course you do, because you sure as heck aren't playing for us. You sure as heck aren't giving us the effort that we need and we require from you, you and the rest of the guys, and you're part of the problem. Paul Pogba doesn't understand that, and clearly there's a disconnect, and he has no idea that this noise is going on around him. Maybe these players have become so insulated that he just doesn't care. He's just going to say whatever he wants, whenever he wants to, regardless of what the feelings may be of the fans that watch this guy play.
And picking up on Frank's point, Ali, you've been very much our Real Madrid correspondent. You look at their list of priorities at the moment, Paul Pogba isn't exactly at the top of it.
No, I don't think they need a player like Paul Pogba. When you look at Real Madrid and the needs of this team and the wants of this team, yeah, it would be nice to get a younger player through the midfield. Sure, why not? But it is not the area of the field in which you, if I'm Real Madrid and making decisions for Real Madrid, in which I would suggest, you know what, this is where we need to strengthen our group. No. First you look at the back. Then you look at, hey, if Benzema is not around, who's the other player that's going to score goals for us? And somehow solidifying and addressing that position, because perhaps Eden Hazard is not the answer that we think he was going to be. You look at those places first. And then you address the idea of somebody playing alongside Casemiro or Cruz or Modric. Even though those guys are getting older, there are still other options that Zidane can play with Federico Valverde. I tell you, Paul Pogba would be surplus to requirement. Even though he's as talented a player as there is through the midfield, I don't think they need a player like him.
Is he overrated, Frank?
Well, he showed during the World Cup in 2018 that he can be a fantastic player and a soldier for the national team. But I have to say, since he left Juventus and since 2008 in the World Cup, I don't see the same Pogba. I don't see the behavior of a professional player, of somebody who wants to commit, completely commit to a club. And I'm talking about Manchester United. And as Ali said, you know, sometimes going out publicly and saying things that he shouldn't because he belongs to a club, because they've just been hammered by Spurs, and because you should be low profile where he says things that he shouldn't say it right now. So I don't know if he's overrated. I mean, so many players are. He has the talent. But because if I was a coach, if I were a coach, I wouldn't pick him because I don't know where to put him. Maybe for me, yes, I can say that he's overrated.
Ali, am I speaking out of turn here in the sense that it's easier for Paul Pogba to be up for the big games with France in the World Cup with all that talent around you, as opposed to for Manchester United away against a Burnley where you don't have that same sort of quality? And does that kind of tell you a little bit more about the player?
Well, it certainly tells you about the personality and the lack of leadership qualities. Because if Paul Pogba wakes up, looks in the mirror, and doesn't realize that Manchester United will go as far as he takes them, if he doesn't take that sort of responsibility on his shoulder and understand that, hey, we may not be the most talented. We may be missing some guys. There may be some injuries. But guess what? I'm still here. I can still be the guy. And that guy around me, he can be better because I'm here. And that guy around me can be better because I'm here. And I'm going to help him and I'm going to facilitate him. That's the attitude of a leader. That's the attitude of a guy who takes responsibility for what's going on the field. It is very easy to then go in the other direction and say, you know what? I'm going to do me.
Right.
I'll do my job. I'll be out there. And if we win, we win. And if we don't, we don't. That's the easy route. But that also tells you about the personality of a player and what that player really brings to a club and an organization.
Do you agree, Frank?
Yes, I agree. And I think it's what he had to do. And again, it's not that he's overrated. I think he lost it. I think he lost his composure, he lost maybe his talent, he lost the meaning of being a football player. He became a star, he became a product at some point, a legend and in another point. So therefore I think he lost it. He lost the anger, the willing of giving his best. And we don't see anything. When he was playing for Juventus, he was absolutely tremendous. In 2018, when he played for France, he had a great World Cup. Since then, bye-bye Paul Pogba. And that's why I say he lost it. It's better than saying that he's overrated.
It's interesting because people will say, oh, why are ESPN FC picking on Paul Pogba again? Manchester United are full of players that are not living up to their expectations. And as fair as that is, as Ali says, Frank, you expect Paul Pogba with the experience that he has and the transfer fee that United paid for him and the expectations around him, that he should be a leader in this team, and he goes missing too often.
Yes, but again, you know, it's been a while since Paul Pogba said that he wanted to leave the club, that he wanted to join Real Madrid. So it's been a long, long shock coming from him, more than from Manchester United. So, and on top of it, he got injured. So I think it delayed maybe his departure. So there is a big problem with Paul Pogba. I don't know if he should carry on playing for Manchester United if he doesn't want to. So that's the point that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has to wonder himself. Mm. You know, should I pick Pogba in the team if he really wants to leave the club? If he doesn't want to give 100% to the club? That's the main question. Maybe they should have a discussion, both of them.
Frank, you said that he's lost it. Can he get it back?
Well, when you have a talent, you can get it back. Now, when you get spoiled, you know, do you get the, how do you say, can you still be hungry? Because it's what it you need when you're a football player. If you're not hungry anymore, it's because you're too rich, because you've been too successful, you're too much a celebrity, you lose that. And maybe it's too late for him, and maybe he lost it forever.
Ali, obviously it's a problem that you never had. But just quickly, finally.
Which one?
Rich celebrity. just quickly, if you're a big club, Is there any way in which you're gambling on Pogba now in the future?
Not at the sort of money that Paul Pogba is right now. And that's a calculation that you have to make and a decision that you have to make as a club. It's a, the talent is there, but am I going to go chase that talent down the path and hope that somehow he regains it? In order for him to regain the level of play that we have seen from Paul Pogba, there's got to be, first and foremost, a realization by Paul Pogba that, man, I'm not the player I once was. He's got to admit that to himself. He's got to look in the mirror and say, boy, some things have changed. I have to address those things that have changed, and I have to improve upon those things. But until there isn't that self-evaluation and there isn't that self-critique, all of this that we're talking about, guess what? It loses a lot of importance because the performance level is going to continue to dip. And if the performance level continues to dip and goes into that trend that it's not going to get better, then why would any big club around the world be like, yep, let me jump on that. That seems like a good investment. No, sir. You pay that sort of money for a guy who's going to be an impactful player for you on and off the field, in the locker room, that is going to give you something different that you don't have. Paul Pogba right now is more of a headache than anything else.
Gentlemen, as always, thank you very much. Just a reminder, if you miss a show, you can download our daily podcast, which is available over on the website.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Don't forget all those matches that are available for you tomorrow. Thank you very much to Ali and Frank. More from Stevie and Shaka on Extra Time, which is next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Stevie and Shaka with us. The first tweet is for you, Mr. Hislop. For Shaka, any tips for goalkeepers like me who have trouble with judging the flight of a corner or a cross and rarely come out to collect and distribute?
Get your eyes tested.
This question is for me, Stephen.
Yes, yeah, Stevie.
If you're having trouble judging crosses, square up to the cross a bit more is my coaching from afar advice. Don't think about approaching it at a 45 degree angle. Just face it straight on and judge it as though somebody's shooting from a wide area, if you know what I mean. Oh. That's my advice. Oh.
Stevie,
very technical.
I know, I liked it.
My book coaching 101 will be out next summer.
And what's your quote? What's your tips for goalkeepers, Stevie?
No, first thing you got to do is get your eyes tested.
Get your eyes. Was it the W you and Maris used to do?
Ah, see, I needed that one.
There it is.
There it is.
Stevie, Jules mentioned that you sent him a birthday message in French. How did you figure out how to send it to him and while also adding on the French? This was quite a palaver, Stevie. Would you like to explain it or shall I?
Well, I was having problems with my phone. So the normal way, the only reason it was on Facebook is because everything else was blocked. That's number one. So I had to do it on Facebook.
Yes.
Well, which I wasn't that bothered about. Because I'd had a little celebration before that, so it didn't really worry me.
Yes.
And The second bit is, I went to Alexa and asked her how to say the particular word in French.
Yes.
So that's how I got over that hurdle.
Do you remember what the words were?
No.
I think it was... Joyeux anniversaire. I think that was pretty much the statement.
Well, I hope I never said it like that, because that sounds crap.
You did definitely say it like that. Because what we were doing, we were putting together like a surprise reel of everybody saying happy birthday to Jules. And I said, Stevie, can you send me the video? And he goes, I've got no idea how to send it. I'll put it on Facebook and you can record it from there.
Because everything else was blocked.
Yeah, I'm sure everything else is blocked, Stevie. It's France-Portugal tomorrow. Are these two European, if not world nations, with the two brightest futures and current depth of all, Stevie?
Do you know what impresses me the most? What's the name of the I always forget the name of the Portuguese coach. What's his name?
You're asking the wrong people.
I know. Anyway, whoever the coach is, I tell you what, you know, for so many years, whenever we looked at Portugal, it was defend, and then let's try and break. And then, of course, you got Ronaldo. And so that kind of felt how Portugal was. But under the same manager, he's actually transformed them into that, from that to an attacking side. Now, that takes a bit of doing, you know. That is a real good coach, because it's a lot easier to stick men behind the ball and organise them than it is to actually open up and play. And so to be able to do both just tells you how good the coach is. So that's it. When I think of Portugal today, yes, they've got exciting players, but I think, you know what, this coach is great. Because any new fling at them, any group of players, good, bad or indifferent, he can organise them and get them to get results, if nothing else. But now he's getting results and they're playing some great football.
Fernando Santos is the Portuguese coach.
Santos, right.
Following on from Wednesday's show, Shaka, which one do you guys prefer if you're a Spurs fan? You, of course, said that you were a Spurs fan growing up, Shaka. So would you prefer fourth position or fifth position and the Europa League title?
Fifth position, Europa League title.
Yeah.
Fourth position only gets you Champions League football, which the Europa League title does. And I think there's real value to lifting silverware, to going all the way in a competition.
Stevie?
Yeah, I'm with Shaq.
Yeah. What about sixth?
If you can guarantee me it, I'm with Shaq.
Yeah. I don't know why I said sixth. That doesn't make any sense. What if it didn't guarantee Champions League football?
No,
that doesn't make any sense either. I'm going to move on.
And then you just take Champions League football.
You would take Champions League football if it didn't guarantee. You would take fourth over a trophy.
Yes, if you weren't sure, then you take the Champions League, no question. But somebody can somehow guarantee it. Then, as Shaq said, you get in the Champions League, but you get the adulation and the joy and everything that goes with lifting a trophy.
What about FA Cup and fifth, Stevie?
Nope.
Fourth. No? Shaka?
No. Well, because people say, well, it's it. No, because the answer is, oh, it's the FA Cup.
Yeah, but you would say, well, you suppose I'm one of the
It doesn't carry the weight.
Shaq?
That's a good question. I'm a little bit torn, but I'm going to go with Stevie. Fourth as opposed to fifth in an FA Cup. But I'm really torn on that one. I really am.
As a player, what would you prefer?
As a player, I'd like to win the FA Cup, in all honesty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stevie?
But then, as we keep saying, whenever we talk about the FA Cup, our feelings and memories of the FA Cup are very different from today's football.
We know fourth place guarantees Champions League football, money, the investment in the club, blah, blah, blah. But from a player's perspective, intrigued.
That's very difficult for us to answer, Dan.
Right.
That's a question you need to ask a player who's playing today, because
well, we can't afford
you know
them.
Whenever we are talking about players, transferring, you know, and the likes of Arsenal isn't in the Champions League, the first thing we say is, well, it's going to be difficult for them to get players because they're not in the Champions League. So we can't have it both ways. And so I'm going to say to your player today would take the Champions League fourth spot over the FA Cup. Now, if you ask Shaq and I, FA Cup means a completely different thing to us.
Sure. Shaka, who did you fear most stepping over a free kick? David Beckham or Gianfranco Zola?
I actually feel worse against David Beckham.
You're going to say why, Shaka?
Steve, you going to say something?
I don't know. Steve is trying to butt in again. He doesn't like you.
I was going to say there's a bigger list than just two of them. Shaka was scared the face. how about anybody over a ball?
Why, to answer your question, why, Dan? The question asked, yes. Beckham or Zola?
Yes.
I felt Zola was at his best from I think he was 1-3 when he was playing in Italy, and his average dropped. He came over to Chelsea later on in his career, and his average had dropped by that point. At that same point, David Beckham was kind of hitting his own strides. So you know, it's not a fair comparison. Zola at the end of his career against Beckham at the peak of his.
What if we threw Ronaldo into the mix, Shaq? Of course, famously scored his first ever free kick in the Premier League against you.
Yeah, but he wasn't known for his free kicks back then.
Right.
I helped boost his confidence, I admit. But it's not something that he was known for.
Yesterday, or this week, certainly saw the return of Shaka's power rankings, Stevie. There was no place for Liverpool in there.
Correctly so. Ah. Well, why would they be in the top 10 after the performance? That's what the power rankings is, right?
Yes.
You lose 7-2.
Yep.
Correct.
Then you don't deserve to be in the top 10.
So who's number one, do
well,
you think,
Well done, Shaka,
Steve?
I say.
Who's number one, Stevie, do you think?
I saw it as well. Was it Everton?
Shaka?
Was it Everton?
Aston Villa.
Oh, Aston Villa. Then it was Everton. Everton was second, right?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, I did. I saw it.
It really made an impression on
Don
you, Stevie.
Don wasn't too pleased.
Stevie, if a movie was to be made of you, who would you like to play the lead role? Oh.
Wow. Does it have to be a lookalike?
It could be anyone you want. It's your movie.
Anyone at all. Ooh. Well, I'm going to go for an old geezer. I'm not going for any of these new fancy Dan punters.
Right, new fancy Dan actors.
I'm thinking John Wayne or something like that.
John Wayne, wow.
John Wayne Gregory. My mum loved Gregory Peck.
Brilliant.
She'd have been delighted if Gregory Peck played me.
That's good, Stevie.
How about that?
I think we can make that happen.
Either John Wayne or Gregory Peck.
John Wayne or Gregory Peck.
I'll go for the Duke. I'll go for John Wayne.
Yep.
There you go.
Perfect. Final question. Oh, Stevie. Sergio Ramos or Harry Maguire, Stevie? Who would you rather be paired with?
It's easy.
Who would I rather be paired with?
Yes.
Sergio Ramos.
There we go.
It's easy.
Why is that? Because he's a world-class
Why?
Defender.
Because he's better than Maguire.
Yeah, world-class.
Because he's better than Maguire.
Shaka, who would you want in front of you?
Ramos.
Yeah. Ramos and Stevie or Ramos and Maguire?
What was that?
Ramos and Stevie or Ramos and Maguire?
I love Ramos and Stevie.
Yep.
I love Ramos and Stevie now.
What about Ramos and John Wayne?
Ramos and John Wayne, yes.
Yep.
Ramos and Gregory Peck,
no.
No chance.
No.
That's fair enough.
Greg Pegner.
Yeah.
Okay, good stuff, guys. Thank you very much, as always, for your tweets. We'll be back tomorrow for more of this nonsense. Until then, goodbye.